Welcome to Radio Tony Everyday Business. We're talking this week with Synct CEO Vanessa Thomas. Synct helps you get your business identity and connects you with your ideal customers. Synct offers intuitive, insightful brand workshops that help you make sense of marketing for sustainable business growth. Synct's mission is to help small businesses get in sync with their ideal customers through the power of design and creativity. Synct do this by breathing new life into your brand with beautifully designed, commercially driven visual solutions that attract your ideal customer for profitable business growth. Tune in each week.
And welcome to Radio Tony Everyday Business. You're listening to your host, Tony Lontis, and I'm here with Vanessa Thomas. But before we introduce you to Vanessa again, just a reminder, Radio Tony is streaming live on Facebook. Hello, if you're listening and watching live from Facebook, and also streaming live onto LinkedIn. And hello to all our LinkedIn listeners and watchers today. Now, we also have a Radio Tony website where you can find out detailed information about every single one of us, our guests that we have on, including the links to anything that they talk about live on the show. You can also subscribe to our newsletter, which updates you each week on who we're talking to and what we're talking about and other good things in the life of Radio Tony. So Vanessa is the owner and key designer at Synct. And she is creative and managing director of this company also. She has many, many years of design industry work, and she established Synct in 2010. So that's a good 10 years in business for herself. She is highly experienced across a diverse range of disciplines, but her passion has always been developing and building brand identities that sync with the business owners. And their mission is to help business owners, entrepreneurs, and businesses build powerful brands that connect and resonate with their market. And they do this with brand and design collateral that builds brand awareness and brand exposure. The overriding goal and the benefits to businesses are that you are keying your messages to the kind of customers that you want to buy from you, the clients you want, and you're winning their hearts, minds, and souls based on your tribe or avatar or your ideal client. Synct helps business owners engage with their customers and communicate effectively with their tribe. The results of this are stronger customer relationships and long-term consistent buyers for your products and services. So Synct is also involved with marketing and communication. But as we have Vanessa on our last show this week, I want to remind you all that Vanessa's key driver for her is making sure your brand works for you and your business. And over the last 3 weeks, we've talked along all sorts of things around business marketing, promotion, and branding. But we want to really touch base again about the way that branding can triple your revenue. So welcome back to the show, Vanessa. It's wonderful to have you here for the last in our series of Everyday Business with Synct and branding. So let's talk again about branding.
Well, thank you for having me on my last show, and thank you to all the listeners. So branding, you're right. It's actually one of the fundamental pillars to your business, and it tends to get overlooked when everyone gets excited they're going to start their new business or venture. We're finding, obviously, in this you know, crazy COVID times that people are developing a new business structure because, you know, that they need to pivot their business, or they thought of maybe this was an idea they wanted to have in the back of their mind. Now it's potentially put it to their foreground. And what people tend to do is they go straight into marketing tactics or straight into, right, I need a logo and I need a website. But where we sort of help and where it's really fundamental is that if you can sort of slow that process down and start at the beginning, which is developing your brand. And it's not a logo. Well, a logo forms a part of it. It's developing that sort of your reason, your purpose, the tone of voice, your archetype, all of the sort of the subconscious, the intangible elements, which will then help to inform who you need to what your business needs to represent, then speak to your ideal customer, find out what they want out of a service for you, and then you can start all the sort of the tactics. So this is where you'll design your logo and your website and all of that sort of marketing collateral.
Yeah. So Vanessa, what you're saying when you're thinking about branding and the bigger picture is you need to start with your ideal customer and build your brand from there. So incorporate you, what's uniquely you, what's uniquely about your business, and then who you want to sell to or who your clients might be, and then do the rest.
That's right. And I think we gave an example of this, and I'll recap it again a couple of weeks ago, of how we were able to triple a client's business, because she was a virtual assistant and she was charging $30 an hour based on trying to attract a quite higher-end target market. So we knew what she was all about. She knew what her business represented. And we were asked to design a logo, and we took her through our brand workshops, and that's where we very quickly, and then we were sort of unpacking who her ideal target market is or her avatar, and this is where we quickly identified that her business name and the definitely the current visuals were not going to resonate with her target market. She had this wealth, she had this treasure trove, she'd been working in this sector for 20 years, she knew the world, and she had so much to offer. That coming in as a busy bee virtual assistant wasn't going to, you know, that might work for your mum and dad's type of businesses where small, but the client she was after were very premium, very high end, and expected a high level of service. So sort of, as I mentioned 3 weeks ago, we changed her business name to Athena Consultancy. Yes. So we gave her power. We gave her, we elevated the status of her business instantly. So the perception of her business went from helping mums and dads to, her name just said it all. And as I sort of said, you saw the physical change with the client as well. We changed the color because we needed to make sure it resonated with her target market, because she was using a cutesy little bee logo that was yellow and black, and it had, you know, cute little antennas. But we then made Athena Consultant, we created like a crown shape, we used blue, and you know, we gave it gravitas. And as I said, we changed the name, we developed a strong logo, we made the colours blue to resonate with the target market. She was then able to charge her target market, and they didn't even bat an eyelid. Originally she was charging $30 an hour. She was then able to charge $90 an hour. So that's literally 300%. Like, we tripled her business just by going through that. Changing her perception of her business, changing the perception of what her clients are expecting of her, and then not even batting an eyelid and realising, yes, of course.
Yeah.
We'll pay you that. So that's the power of how branding, doing it right and understanding who you are, who you need to talk to, and then getting the right visuals and then all the collateral that goes with it can impact the growth of your business and put more money back in your back pocket.
Yeah. Vanessa, how did you go about the process of coming up with the name Athena?
Yep. So that's a really good question, because naming is a really tricky thing. There are a couple of rules of thumb when it comes to naming a business name. You can go down, and this has always been a bit of a contention with my husband and myself. You can go with an abstract name. So, for example, Synced. So Synced is an abstract name. It has some, there's some meaning behind it because we are in sync with our customers, but the name itself is an abstract one. So where you need to, if you have something like that, or even like Google or Uber, you know, these are sort of very abstract names. So you need to have your tagline needs to do a lot of the heavy lifting. So my tagline is bringing brands to life. So that gives you a clue as to what the business sort of does. And then the other train of thought is you make it what it says it is. So for example, my husband's business name is The Brand Experts. So it is what it says, right? It's, you know, it's going to Melbourne Chiropractic Clinic. You know it's in Melbourne, you know it's a chiropractic clinic. So then your tagline could be something, you know, getting you back into shape or something like that. I'm just pulling this randomly, but your tagline, you can have a bit of fun with it because your business name says what it is. So when we were doing, when we were unpacking Athena Consultancy, we were really tapping into what does what does our client solve? How does she solve a problem for them? So we had a number of different names, but it ends up coming down, they are almost like a warrior. They want, the client wants someone to come in, sort all their problems out for them, have the get the job done. It's almost attrition, like, you know, go in, it's like almost military. They don't want to know about all the fussing here and there. They just need the job done well. And then you almost need to come in almost like at that general level, and that's the level of expectation. So when we were exploring that, we didn't want, obviously, we wanted to be truthful to our client, and she was a beautiful, powerful woman as well. So as we were coming across, we were thinking, all right, well, war, like those connotations were coming through. Yes. Then we sort of do our research. We always look to the past as well. And that's where sort of the goddess of war, Athena, came into it. And then we went, as we were exploring everything about Athena, we went, wow, this actually really fits everything that we're sort of thinking. And as I said, we had a number of different names, but that was our third. And when we presented, the client went, oh, my God, that's amazing. But as part of that as well, whenever we do present, we have to make sure that, one, you can actually get the name. Because that's another thing that when you think of a business name, you have to make sure, one, are you able to get it via, you know, business registry? Can you get a domain name that's, you know, fairly close to it? Sometimes you may not get the full name. Sometimes you have to be really clever with, you know, you have to add group, or do you have to have something else that goes with it? Different. The best scenario is you get your business name. So Synct is synct.com.au. So I was fortunate enough to get that. So this is something that you really need to look at when you're naming a job or naming a business. You can go quirky and fun. Make sure you can register it. Make sure you can get a URL. Yes. But your tagline has to do a lot of heavy lifting. Or you go literally what it says on the box and then have some fun with the tagline. Just check what it is that you actually want to achieve, you know. How is it going to impact our client's avatar? You know, are they going to resonate with it as well?
That's a really powerful example, Vanessa, because as you're talking about the process that you followed for your client, and you're talking about Athena, and yes, it does conjure up that woman of war, that ability to get things done. And so that's the power of branding, isn't it?
That's it. And that's right. So therefore, what that then said as well, that then led the visuals. So when we were producing her brochure, her DL flyer, we needed to make sure that any sort of, and even also her own personal images, we needed to make sure she came across as a, you know, a strong, beautiful woman that she is. So the photograph had to encapsulate that. Any collateral had to resonate with, this is a powerful business that's going to transform your business, so you don't have to worry about that. We've got your back. It all impacts the rest of the direction. And then it comes down to working with a copywriter, making sure that the tone of voice comes across as well. So this is where it's not just a pretty little logo. It's actually a lot of thought process that goes in the back end that then when you see the logo, you go, that makes sense. When you see the collateral, that goes, of course, that's exactly what you're expecting to go down. So,
I particularly love your logo with the red circles intertwined. As we're talking about branding and as we've talked about how you got your URL, tell me about the process for your logo, because it's really simply beautiful, isn't it?
Thank you. To be perfectly honest, it is designing for myself, one of the hardest things to actually do, because I am too close to the process. And when I originally started the business 10 years ago, I didn't have this. I had in essence the three links, but they were a different shape, they were a different color. And I think I'd spent over a month working on this. And my husband said, you just need to pick something and go ahead. Because what tends to happen is you don't have that objective view. So when we work on a client's brand, we are not to say we're not as invested in, we don't have that level of connection to the name. So we can come with that perspective that you can't. So when I was designing the logo, as I said, a year later, I tweaked it to this. I needed to include the passion because there wasn't as much red last time. So we introduced the passion. I wanted to capture with the three shapes, imagination. So there's a number of different ideas to the circle. So creative, the inspiration ideas, that's what the three circles mean, but they are also interconnected because I like the business name. It's truly connected. And also there are three, so it's sort of like we help you, it's like a stepping stone. We want to help you along the way. And we've got the solid name.
And they're different size circles that,
help you along the way, and we're connected throughout the whole process. So that's sort of the fundamental meaning of the icon. And then with the solid dark brown base of the name, it's solid. We've got your back, you know, it's dependable, it's reliable. So, and then we can have fun with the imagination and with the connectivity. So that's how when I designed the Synced logo, that's what the thought process was. But it's really hard doing it for yourself. It took longer than I would do a normal design project.
I was going to ask, how long did it take you? And has it been the same logo since you started business, or have you changed over that time?
Well, as I said, the first year I had a slight variation. I actually had it in grey. I had a square shape connected icons. There was like an aqua and only a little bit of red. And I had a business coach at the time. He said, "There's something not quite right here. It might not." Yeah, he said, "Seeing you, seeing the passion, seeing the excitement." Yes. And then when you saw your logo, there was a slight disconnect. And I took that on board and I realised, you're right. I'm not this square person. I'm more red. No. I'm more excitement, more enthusiasm. Yes. So, and I'm not this cold grey. I am this warm personality. So, yes, he was so right. So I swapped it 9 years ago and I haven't changed it since. I did toy around that whether at my 10-year anniversary, I thought, do I modernise the font? But I haven't quite felt the need to change it yet. So it's been 9 years that I've had this logo.
Yeah. And it's lovely. It still looks fresh. It still looks great. So that's one of the advantages for businesses. If they get this right and work with professionals in the first instance, then it's going to last you for a long time. So it's like if you invest in that process of branding and do it properly the first time, you're not going to have to do it again for a long time.
Well, and that's exactly right, because what tends to happen is that, you know, when a business starts, they'll go to the cheaper options to quickly get a logo created through Fiverr or $99. There are many platforms that you can get these done.
Yes.
And I do get it. You know, when you're first starting your business, you don't have the money. But if you do, if you're at a point where you actually and you might be a new business starting off, but you've had experience with, you know, how these needs to be done. So you realise you do need to invest in this. What ends up happening, and I'm finding a lot of the times when clients come to us, they're at the 3 or 5 year mark where they've been around a while and they know they need to take the business to the next level and they really need to have that real professional look and feel to them. We usually, and then this is no disrespect, but we usually fix those logos because they don't resonate with the client. They don't speak about what the client's about. And yes, the font may not be appropriate. It could be trendy, you know, 3 years ago, but is it really relevant now? You know, you might have had a feature that was all the rave. I remember quite a few years ago, there was a font called Lobster that came out. Great font. It sort of had this sort of cursiveness. It was solid. It was beautiful. Every piece of collateral, I used it as well. Everyone in the design world used Lobster because it was a great font. But then what ends up happening is that it becomes oversaturated and it's like, oh, really? It's another piece of collateral with Lobster. So you really have to be careful and getting a good designer to try and make your logo as timeless as possible is always the key preference, because you're right, you won't need to change it for a long time. Other things might need to change, like you most often than not, your website will need to be refreshed every couple of years because that needs to, you know, your business might change. It needs to be refreshed, but a good quality logo shouldn't really need to be changed. There might be some minor tweaks. As I said, I might play with the font, but again, I really like my font, so I don't know if I want to change it. There's nothing else is going to change.
When I was doing some research for today's show, I was looking at Coca-Cola, and that is such an iconic brand, and that branding, colors, and even their font has been with us for a really, really long time. And I'm wondering, in the time before we had the internet and websites, how did they successfully use that iconic brand to get their brand out across the world? What was it about Coca-Cola, other than the taste, that made that brand iconic so that everyone knows Coca-Cola on site?
Well, see, this is where you've got brand consistency. But prior to the internet, the main medium that they used was your radio and your television. So television became the huge, commercials were massive. And what they also, Coca-Cola were able to do, they had a number of different unique things that they had on their site. Not only did they have a nice budget, but they had the unique shape of the bottle. So that in itself was, you know, you're not getting a Pepsi, you're getting, it's the curved shape of Coke. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Coke have got their unique bottle shape. So there's that. They've got their sort of signature swoosh that I was in uni and I had to create a series of posters, and we had to break down some big brands to their basic elements and create them in a poster.
Yes.
All I had was had a red piece of paper with this sort of swoosh in white, and everyone could tell within a split second that's Coca-Cola versus something else. So they've been able to capture the simplicity of it. But what they've also managed to do is they've infused, I mentioned obviously in week one, I think it was, about archetypes. So Coca-Cola has an archetype about their sole mission is to give the feeling of happiness, of joy. So just think they've associated the, I actually believe that Santa Claus colours have actually come out of a Coca-Cola promotion, because Santa Claus is black. Is the red and white, and that you'll notice they have a number of campaigns around Coca-Cola and Santa and Christmas and all of that to capture that fun and enjoyment. But then you've also got the summer fun as well. So they have tried to infuse happiness and fun into their archetype, into their brand, that Santa Claus became the iconic red and white because of the Coca-Cola brand. So it would have been your advertising agencies and your marketing agencies years ago who managed to get the message out through radio, TV, but mainly their commercials prior to the internet. But then it became consistency. So they've obviously started to change their brand a little bit. So they've got, you know, there's the Coke Zero where they've got more of a black. I think they've got the green version. So they've got different things. And what they've been able to do, because they've got so much credibility in the market, you can see that the colours change over time. They might have an additional range where there's like a pink Coca-Cola and a purple one. And I know I've got some cans in my fridge where I've got little different coloured ones. But Coca-Cola can do that now. They have built so many years worth of their branding that they can have fun, and it's a one-off. It's not an always permanent thing. Their permanent branding is the yellow, the white and the red. But yes, they've managed to infuse that into our psyche. It's phenomenal.
And that's an example of branding that has stayed with them for decades. Like it's decades of branding the same year in, year out, with little tweaks to the side, but essentially their colors are red and white. The Coca-Cola swirly thing is the same, is the same, is the same. The power of branding should never be underestimated, should it?
No, and the thing is, I actually find it really interesting. I'm always curious to see what KFC do, because they have over the years have evolved their brand, the icon, the colours, even down to the uniforms. To me, like they went through a stage where they had their staff members were in pink and green, I think, at one stage, and that the logo was blue, and they've had many variations. Yes. I personally feel they finally nailed it with the version that they've got now. But I'm out of all of sort of McDonald's hasn't changed. You know, Red Rooster hasn't changed. Your Burger King has changed.
No.
But KFC has been one of the fundamental food chains that have constantly refreshed. And that to me shows potentially that they haven't got it right, because they originally were Kentucky Fried Chicken. So then they've changed it to KFC to change the perception of us as being fried and bad. As I said, they've evolved their logo. And personally, as I said, I think they finally got it. But again, they might change it. So again, there's adding a little bit of doubt to that brand because it is constantly moving.
Yes.
And whether they've done the process to capture the right mood, I don't think they had done that successfully in the past. So it'll be interesting to see if they change it again.
yeah. It's really quite odd. Until I started talking with you on a regular basis, I hadn't given branding much thought. And as we've gone along and talked week after week about the importance of it from a business perspective, I'm now seeing the link between branding and revenue and your ideal customer and just how important it is to get that stuff right.
Completely. And as I said, one of our other clients, and again, I think I vaguely mentioned it in week one, she's actually had her best year while we're in a pandemic because we changed her logo. It therefore attracted a better type of paying client. It therefore has given her the ability to charge higher rates and get better clients into her system. As I said, her best year has been in the middle of a complete and utter economic disaster. But that's purely because of her branding and the perception of her. We've changed her perception of her business. We've changed the perception of the clientele coming into her as well. And their expectations are, well, of course, you know, she's amazing at what she does. And that goes without saying.
Yes.
But all of that coupled up means that she can, with confidence, charge this amount. And the clients go, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Vanessa, how important is branding for businesses in the online realm?
It's exactly the same. And I think because of the speed with which we're going, and this is where I sort of say you need to make sure things are consistent because you can easily destroy it or create doubt in your customer's mind if things are not consistent across the board. And in the past, you know, if you were to change a font here or change something there, you had to print it across everything. So people were really mindful of, well, do I really need to change this? And if I do change it, there needs to be a reason for it. And it's not just because I'm choosing to change it for today because I feel like I want to be a blue girl today rather than having your corporate colours as being red. With the online space and with programs like Canva and things like that where you can churn it out very quickly and you've got Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, Instagram, all of your different platforms, your website, if you don't keep a handle on your branding and making sure it's consistent, you can very easily start to erode it. So that's where it's extremely important now. And as I said, that's your visual brand, but also you need to make sure that your personal brand is actually, or your business brand is coming across with integrity as well. So the things you post on Facebook or LinkedIn, the tone of voice needs to be consistent as well. So we can easily quick fire up, and because it has to be short, sharp and sweet, but this is where you need to take stock and really make sure, is this going to be detrimental to my brand or is this going to be beneficial? So this is where, because it's so fast, you can make mistakes a lot quicker. But then you could also fix it a lot quicker. But this is where you probably need to sort of stop a little bit and have that sort of, okay, let's have a bit of a plan. How are we going to do this? How are we going to be showing up? Because it's easy to quickly destroy, you know, the consistency of your brand.
So Vanessa, when we're talking about branding and before we talked a little bit about fonts, so if you pick a couple of fonts that are related to you, your business and your brand, you're saying that we should stick to those fonts absolutely across all of our social media, across our website, across any collateral. Is that true?
Short answer is yes, but it depends on the size of your business and who your target market is. So for a small business, like you and I, most definitely, these are your hero fonts. So you'll have your main font and your body copy. Yes. What that does is it builds consistency. So most definitely, yes, I would say that. For some of our bigger clients where there are a number of different stakeholders, so we deal, as I said, with some big clients, that having the same font is not going to be as relevant to a particular sector. So, for example, one of our clients deals with women and children, sort of the maternity healthcare sector, but as well as that, because they're a council, they then deal with sort of corporate governance, and then they deal with events and festivals. So to have that one main corporate font will not be appropriate to your mums and kids and will not be appropriate to your festivals. It will most definitely be appropriate for your internal communications to keep that. So that you will need to have sort of, here are the corporate fonts, so anything sort of corporate related needs to be in this. Here is how our logo needs to sit, and these are our colours. And when it comes to festivals, as long as it's clear, and it depends. Some departments say, no, these are the fonts you have to use, and there's no turning away from that.
Yes.
Others, you get a little bit more freedom where you can have, well, let's look at the appropriate communication. Is it if it's an event, have a bit more fun with it, but keep the rest of the information clean and corporate. So it depends on who the company is, but for most small business, having your suite of fonts and not having too many crazy fonts, especially in one whole piece, you know, limited to 2 to 3 at the very most, is really important because at the end of the day, you want to communicate a message, and people need to either read it or take action, you know, go here, click that, or, you know, let's have an event here. It needs to be clear. You need to make sure that the font, because they all have a different meaning as well, relays the message you want to. So you do have to be a bit careful and consistent.
So fonts have meanings in that if you use this font, it conveys fun and frivolity, or this font conveys strength and power, and this font conveys an expert opinion. Really?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. There's it's not to say that they don't have meanings like the color does, but most definitely use the right font for the right purpose. So I think I mentioned it's the bane of all graphic designers font choice, but it's called Comic Sans, and it's usually a slightly fun, like almost like a hand-drawn type of font. There have been many times where we've seen examples of if you're a little girl or a little boy going to a party and you're going to have all your mates and friends around and there's going to be, you know, balloons and castles, use Comic Sans. It's appropriate for that.
Okay.
But don't use it for a, you know, a corporate setting where you need to express, you know, this is like a terms and conditions or this is some vital information. The font needs to have authority. So having a whimsical font for that is detrimental to the message that you're trying to convey. There's a lot of these sort of things going on Facebook where if you picture a nice flowing font and it says, I will always find you. So if you can picture that in your mind, you know, you go, oh, that's sweet, that's romantic. But if you picture that font as sort of like this, you know, sort of like spiky eggs, it's just like, you know, a stalker, I will always find you, you go, oh, it has a very different message. So you go, I think I'll stay away from that person versus the love letter style. So your font is extremely important, how you actually use it as well. So, yes, they have personalities too.
Okay. So interesting question. The font New Times Roman that everyone uses and that comes standard for everything, who decided that that was going to be the standard for everyone to use?
I think it comes back down to legibility. I believe in the newspaper world, the little curves. So Times New Roman is what we call a serif font, and a serif font has those little extra taggy bits at the top and the bottom. So I could be wrong, but I believe somewhere in the back of my mind that for legibility on your paper, having those little serifs makes it easier to read large amounts of text. So I think that's potentially where the sans serif, the serif font has become standard Times New Roman.
Yes. It's and then about you've got readability for the majority.
That's exactly right. So I think, that's correct.
So when we talk about branding, you guys do a number of webinars that relate to branding. So before we run out of time again, I want to know a little bit about some of the things that you've got coming up that businesses and business owners can tap into, some of the events you've got coming up, and a quick word about your avatar workshop, which we've been encouraging businesses to jump on board and really dig deep and find out who their ideal customer is and how important that is.
Most definitely. So in terms of offers for your listeners, we've got our avatar workshop, and that's where we will deep dive and unpack who your ideal customer is. So that's at a special radio listeners price for $900 Australian. And so that's a 3-hour workshop where, as I said, we unpack that. In terms of sort of the workshop offerings that we do have, so one of our core pillars is the avatar workshop, but we also do our brand, what we call the brand DNA workshop. And this is where we unpack the personality, the tone of voice, and all the elements that make up you. So those are our two core pillars that we offer. But from there, we have a messaging workshop. We have the DISC profiling to unpack, you know, what type of personality DISC profile your clients are. We have that. We have a number of sort of different related workshops that will help define we help you develop a number of stories that, so when you go to write a blog, or if you're doing a keynote presentation, or you're going networking, you can pull out some of these sound bites or these little stories. So we've got those. But in terms of our so that's all the before stuff, and then we obviously then do your logo, your website, and all of the collateral that goes with it. So in terms of websites, what we've got on offer is, so if you go to Synkd, so that's synkd.com.au/offers, you'll see the avatar workshop there. But then we run monthly free webinars, and this is
webinars,
to showcase how we can, you know, the tools that you'll need to triple your business. So, you know, it's a great way to understand and unpack a lot of that sort of stuff. So it's a 1 hour or 1.5 hours, and you get some questions and answers at the end. So that's really, we found that the customers who have gone through have really benefited, and then it becomes a no-brainer. We go, let's make it happen for you. So, we really love sort of imparting this knowledge out to people.
It's wonderful to see such passion from something that can have such a great impact on the way that a business runs, and how it drives clients and customers to you as well. And I sort of had not thought of it as such an important part of what I do until I started talking to you. And I, the more that we've talked, the more I'm like, wow, this is really important. I wish that I'd started a business. I wish I'd sort of connected with a branding business to get that stuff sorted out from the get-go. Instead, I've sort of stumbled along the way and finally come to what I have now, and not realized that it would have been so simple if I'd just invested in the first place, as one of the first things I'd done. That would have helped so much.
It does. And the thing is, it's sort of where we're helping you up for the next 10 years, you know, we're fast tracking you. As I said, there is an investment, and when you first start out, you don't have that, but if you can sort of realize that is actually,
I was just going to say, if you're starting business, there's always a little pot of something somewhere. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, I wish I'd known when I started, because I would have used that pot to invest in branding and marketing from the get-go, because I would have clarified who I was, what I was going to do, much quicker than the roundabout way, which it's come to me now.
And you're exactly right, and that's sort of educating the market around just that thing as well, because unfortunately branding gets sort of tossed to the side. Oh yes, I know who I am, or yes, I know my values, but actually, how do you incorporate that into your business? How are your potential staff, or how is your customer going to resonate with that? How do you show up the way you need to? So you're right, investing in that bit at the start means that when you do spend your marketing, you're not just firing your marketing off to everyone. You're actually being really specific. So you actually can attract that better client into your business, and you can get there quicker. So as I said, that's the beauty of it. you power pack your
I was just going to say, Vanessa, that initial investment would have saved me so much time and money. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, if you're new in business, you're thinking about going into business, even if you're a little ways into your business journey, this sort of thing will save you time and effort and money. And if you get it right, you could be like Vanessa's customer, Athena, who saw it treble her revenue. Like, this is important stuff for business people to grasp.
It is. And what we find as well is that, you know, we usually package it up for our clients as well, that they're able to sort of have it as a monthly fee, that it's not a big chunk at one thing. But what you'll actually find is that we actually do the process at the beginning, and you'll then start to attract those clients before the contract is complete. So you'll end up actually, and the thing is, when you do this right, you're going to be continually getting those well-paying clients in. It's not like you do it once and then that's it. This thing keeps going. So it's like, if you get it right, you invest in it.
And it develops.
Exactly.
It develops momentum, which I find fascinating. When you start to get those components right, it starts to develop a momentum of its own, which leads to your credibility, your integrity, more eyes on your business, more clients, more revenue, and off you go. And it builds its own momentum. Once you get those key requirements of a business right, once you get clarity around who you're trying to sell to, why you're trying to sell to them, and again, investment in, say, an avatar workshop at the beginning or start of your business is invaluable and is going to be invaluable as you go forward. Because as you grow, you get to a point where you can no longer do everything yourself. And you need to start to link with others who have your back, because you can't do it alone. You just cannot do it alone.
And it also helps to shape those partnerships that come into your business.
Correct.
So, as I said, we've got a phenomenal social media strategist. We've got a phenomenal videographer. These people have, look, and you know, I have a very high standard that I need to achieve with my suppliers, because it's a level of expectations my clients expect as well. So to be a preferred supplier with Synced, you have to be able to link in with our value system and our belief system, because at the end of the day, they will be representing us, and I only want the best for my clients. It's sort of, and the beautiful people we've got do that. They get it. They're on board. They understand the value. So what that does is it really also fine tunes who you have in your supplier list as well.
Again, it's just so important. And I know that I jotted down some more notes when I was looking through the branding stuff, and I found a whole sort of process that described it was actually describing the Coca-Cola process, and it talks about the logo and what it tells the public, and it went on like a sequential journey. So it was about building credibility and trust, and having a brand identity that doesn't make your product, that doesn't just make your product more memorable, it makes your brand more authoritative in the marketplace, and it establishes you as the face and maintains that face consistently, like you've said, and develops credibility among your competitors and trust among your customers. The next element they described was advertising impressions, and that a brand identity becomes a template for everything you do that advertises your business. So from ads to print to radio to commercials to YouTube to social media, it all is an impression of you and your business, and it has to be consistent. And the other thing that they incorporated was the company's mission. And I know that we've talked about this before, but their branding incorporates their mission and what their company purpose and values are. And it's all interlinked with that branding exercise. And it becomes a readily identifiable this is Coca-Cola. This is what they represent. This is their values. This is who the company, this is their customers. It's all in one. And just as we're heading towards our last 10 minutes on the show, I wanted you, if you could quickly tell us some of the steps that you go through in developing a brand identity, because this is really important and I want our listeners to understand the important steps in developing brand identity and why it's important as a business person to do this.
So as I said, we start off with our brand DNA workshop. So I may have mentioned, we always sort of look at building your brand as an iceberg. So if we can remove all the stuff that you see at the top, which is usually your logo, all the touch points, all the impressions, all the things that the customer sees, we do that later.
Yeah.
We sit at the below the surface stuff. So those include, so when we walk through someone, we do that, the brand DNA. So that is the personality of your business. We've got the archetype of your business, the tone of voice, what is your value? What are your values, your mission, your purpose, and your mission, all of that. So some of the things, that's what sort of sits below. Then we look at your target market and who you need to be, getting your message out to. From there, we can develop messages. So that way it resonates with your target market and it has the theme and the flavor of your business all incorporated. So those are the first steps that we take a customer through. So it's the personality type, the archetypes and the voice. That's our main pillar. And then the customer DNA, so the profiling. We then can take you on, as I said, to the messaging and we sort of encompass all of that. From there, then we look at the visuals. Okay, so when we design the logo, we need to make sure we capture your personality and who you need to be speaking to. When you design the website, well, we need to know what are the pain points for the clients. What problem do you solve? So then that's where we can then put it on their website. We make sure the photography and the tone of voice of your words are consistent with all the below the surface stuff. So at every point, your social media graphics, and I think I've very briefly mentioned, I think in week two, about even down to your terms and conditions, the boring stuff that most people won't even think should be branded or have your tone of voice, you can do that. And I think the example I gave was the time zone or fun zone where their terms and conditions had a joke running through it. So it doesn't have to be just a plain text. If the tone of your business is very legal and, by the book and you cross your eyes, don't put a joke in there. But, you need to obviously maintain that level of professionalism. Yeah. But if you do have a little bit of a funness or a quirkiness or a caringness, maybe one of our clients, when we were branding her, the tone of voice with which she connected with her clients, she would sign off a text message with a kiss, kiss. So XX. Yes. So when we then translated that onto her website, she had, kiss, kiss, love, Bonnie. So we translated her tone of voice onto her website. So it gives people that familiarity and trust and understanding that, you're going to take care of them. So that's our process. Do your workshops, then do your visuals and all your collateral.
Yeah, which makes sense, doesn't it, to do it in that way. Now, Venice, nearly lost my earpiece then. Goodness gracious me. So it has been a wonderful learning journey for me as a small business owner to understand the importance of all this. And from our discussions around branding and the importance of fonts and the psychology behind colour, for goodness sakes, and how that breeds into the ethos and the business and how colour has such an important impact on people and how it attracts the right people to you. I never knew that colour could be so important in business.
Fascinating. Yeah, I love it. And that's where it's not to say subliminal messaging, but that's where you can actually be, you may not realise you're actually being marketed to as I said, that the food manufacturer, the fast food, they've used the red and the yellow and the orange for a specific purpose. So that way we can be, encouraged to feel hungry. So,
Yes.
With power, but with great power comes great responsibility, they say.
Yes, Coca-Cola. when you consider that Coke started with as actually having cocaine in the ingredients, and you look where it is now, that having removed a lot of the sugar from its drinks, it's quite a journey for them, isn't it? But again, their branding has stayed consistent through all of that journey. It's maintained that consistency, hasn't it?
That has. And I think from memory, as I said, this is pushing my brain now, I think the original sort of, the swoosh and the name actually was the signature of the person who developed Coke. So I believe this is pushing my brain back to uni days.
Yes.
I think it was the signature, and obviously it's evolved and tweaked as you've gone along.
Yes, yes.
Over the years, but I believe that's where it came from.
Do you know, has it always been red? Have they always used red? I wonder. That's the only thing that I can think of, but just whilst we're talking on.
I can't be certain. I have a sneak suspicion it may have been black at the very, very, very beginning. But I'm sure if you do a Google search, the evolution of brand, it shows, like, I mean, there's even sort of your Volkswagen logo, your IBM, you can sort of track the progression of how logos have changed. Yes. Even the Apple logo, if you look at the Apple logo, that's a beautiful shaped Apple that we have now. It had all these frilly, filigree, and it was a completely, you would not know that it's the Apple logo. I think it's the Macintosh logo. All those years where it started off, and over the years it's obviously evolved. It originally had, the rainbow colours through it. Now we've got simple icon. So, original one for Coke may have been black, but don't quote me on that. I'm not too sure. But, in my lifetime and for all I've known and all the paraphernalia that I've seen of Coca-Cola, it's red and white.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it just brings us back to the importance of getting it right for your business, that whole branding and branding strategy. Now, we are getting low on time, and I quickly wanted to see if you can describe the elements that you take a business through when you take them through their avatar workshop.
So at the beginning, we sort of start with your basics. Yep. So that'll be, they predominantly male, female, the rough age group, the demographics that they're looking at, what level of education that they've achieved, that they've got kids. All what this does is we're trying to build a picture. So that is where most people, when they come to you and say, I know my avatar or I know my target market, they're between 30 to 35, they're male, they're educated at university standard and they earn roughly this much. And, I remember the first one of the times we were doing this with a client and we sort of said, look, can you sort of estimate roughly what bracket income they are? He got really defensive. Uh-huh. We're not trying to pry to find out, oh, they've got lots of money. No, what that does, it does give us a bit of assumption as to, okay, well, if they're earning this much, you can then sort of make a rough estimation that they might be driving this type of car, or they might live in this particular demographic or this particular house. They might have X amount of surplus revenue that they can afford your higher premium products. If there's someone that earns a small amount and you're charging... If you've got a diamond, like if you're a jeweler and you've got people on a very low income, you're not going to make that connection because
that's
not within the realms of possibility. So you either need to have a low-end product that's going to attract that lower demographic, if that's what you want to play, or you need to change that demographic that does have that sort of income bracket that can go, it's still going to cost me, I don't know what the average is these days, 2 months worth of a salary or 1 month of salary to buy that diamond ring. But you need to be speaking to that type of person. So at the very basic, that's where we go. And then from there, we sort of really sort of tap into what's their day like? I know it might sound mundane. What do they do when they get up? Do they check their phone first? Or do they, do meditation? So what that does is sort of tracks the day. And it might seem tedious, but this is where you might be able to find, okay, well, I know that they might drive to work. Well,
the kids to school.
Now, but they might have a 20-minute commute. So you might find depending on the product and service you have, you might find that, oh, yep, I can develop a podcast. So where they're, while they're, yes, driving in the car, they can listen to my podcast. Or you, correct, might find, well, they listen to the radio. What age group are they in? They might listen to a particular, yes, style of radio. So I'll put an advert on the radio at that time, yes, in the morning slots to try and capture.
Yes.
So these are some of the things that we sort of go through so people can sort of understand, yeah, the day in the life of a client. You can walk through their shoes. What keeps them up at night? What are the challenges? What's, yes, going to impact their business that, you know, the government, like, no one could have planned COVID, or maybe some people could have.
We're
in crazy times now, but a lot of the times there might be legislation that's coming up that's going to impact your customers' lives. Now, yes, as I said, we're finding ourselves COVID, you know, JobKeeper or, yes, JobSeeker, or, you know, the stimulus packages. Yeah. Can we go out? Melbourne's still in lockdown. All of these things are going to be playing havoc with someone sort of keeping them up at night. So it's, you know, now's, yes, a great time to go, okay, well, I've got a new product or service. How can I benefit them? How can I solve that problem?
Yes. So this, how can is I what help that, people?
That's right. That's what the avatar sort of helps to. And this is where, you know, when we're unpacking as we're going along, you know, the brain's already whirring. We go, all right, well, you know, we could do this, we could do that. Have you, yes, thought of that? That's where all of that process comes from.
Yeah, yeah. And again, if you're having a tough time in business and you want to invest in the future and start 2021 in great shape, then I just cannot encourage you enough to give Vanessa a call. She can chat to you on the phone. You can jump on her webinars. You can email her and she will say, okay, this is what we can help you with. This is how we can help you. This is what might be important for you. And of course, if you want to triple your revenue in 2021, then start preparing now at the end of 2020 and start 2021 with a bang. Because seriously, it can't get worse than 2020, really.
It's certainly stretched the patience. It's certainly, you know, forced businesses. And, you know, you can look at it negatively, yes, or positively. I'm choosing, obviously, to look positive. But, you know, you're, yes, forcing yourself out of that comfort zone to go, all right, well, yes, I may have thought of doing starting a new business beforehand. It may have been a pipe dream. Well, yes, maybe now is actually the right time, yeah, to do it. So, you know, don't, yeah, be scared. Give it a go.
Yes.
As you said, it can't get any worse.
No, that's what I mean. If 2020 has taught you anything, is like, well, get out and have a go. Get out and start that new business. But before you do, make sure you speak to the team at Synced and Vanessa, who will set you up for success. And I guess that's the basis of what we've wanted to get across to people in the last 4 weeks with Vanessa and the team at Synced, is to set yourself up for success. And if you do the branding and the messaging and you drill down and find out who you're selling to or providing products for, and you get that right from the get-go, or start to get it right from right now, then that's going to help build your success and get you ready for the success that you desire.
Exactly right. And the thing is, you know, that being all in sync, and we really want to see our clients succeed. It brings, yes, me joy when I hear stories of, you know,
yes,
as I said, when my client said this has been her best year because of the branding I've produced, yes, for her, because she's been able to elevate her business. Oh, like, I mean, that's, yes, just, ah, it's, that's why I love doing what I do. I actually literally had my daughter earlier today say, Mummy, do you still love design? I said, I love it, sweetheart, because it's sort of, I've been, yes, doing this for over 20 years. I've been in business for 10,
yes,
years. But I still, yes, love that transformation I see in our clients and seeing them succeed. It's just beautiful.
And why wouldn't you, as a business, want to partner with someone who shares in the joy of your success?
Thank you. I love it.
Vanessa, we are actually way over time because we've been chatting so much. It has been an absolute delight to share your vast and extensive knowledge with the listeners of Radio Tony Everyday Business. It's been a wonderful journey for me to hear the information that you talk about. We have developed a lovely friendship over the course of this process, and I'm a little bit sad today to be saying goodbye, but I know that that won't be forever. I'm sure that we will work together again down the track. So people, please jump on to Synkd, snykd.com.au, get in touch with Vanessa, have a chat, jump on one of her webinars, sign up to that avatar course, and get your business ready for success. Get synced with your ideal customer and do it now. Yeah. Vanessa, thank you so much for being on Radio Tony.
Thank you, Tony. It's been great, and thank you to your listeners as well.
Wonderful. And that, my friends, is our lot for this week. This is Tony Lontis on Radio Tony, and we will be back next week with some more everyday business goodness. Thank you very much to Vanessa from Synkd, snykd.com.au. Bye for now, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Radio Tony Everyday Business this week with CEO Vanessa Thomas from Synkd. Let Synkd take your business to the next level with beautiful designs and commercially driven visual solutions. Jump on the website Synkd, synkd.com.au. That again is synkd.com.au. And join us next week for more branding goodness. Bye for now.